Yeah, through the first two, I definitely know their presence inside. Some games you get more chances to rush and some games you don't. So what we want to always make sure is we're finding the matchups when we can and get into some drop back stuff. Sometimes when you have the production they've had, other people go into the game saying, okay, these two are not going to ruin the game as well. So a little bit of both, but yeah, we're definitely looking forward to them for this week and really making their impact. And they want that too.
That's Dan Quinn talking about Daron Payne and John Allen on the interior and what has been a quiet statistical start to their seasons. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Commanders are 1-1, and they're going to Cincy for Monday Night Football. It stands to reason that the three biggest stars on the team, who, just by way of the numbers, have not started fast, are going to bounce back. And it's more likely, I'd say, that all three have really good years than don't. But if you were to just put your money on one of those guys to still have a monster season, still put up their normal numbers or maybe even better, who might that be? Daron Payne, John Allen, or Terry McLaurin? Those are the three high-paid, perceived best players on this team. And we'll open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067.
My answer is John Allen. The best track record, the most consistent of all three of these players. So the years we look at, you go, he only had 5.5 sacks. What do you mean consistent? You look at his pressure percentages. You look at the percentage of times he beats his guy. You look at the tackles for loss. You look at quarterback hits, all the knockdowns, all those things. He had years, like before he broke out for that 9-sack season, where the year before, he was just as good in terms of those metrics I just listed. And we said it then. If you replay every one of those plays again, and you gave me those same ancillary metrics that sort of tell you how someone's doing as a pass rusher, he would have had 9 sacks. And the next year he did, because the regression happened. To me, he's been their most consistent defender. I don't expect a super ridiculous, incredible year. I don't think that's in anybody's cards here among this group of three. But John Allen, to me, has been so consistent, and he's at way more missed tackles than he's ever had. That stuff is coming. He'll normalize. He's going to be the best.
First thing I want to do is talk about the two D tackles. I think that they were pretty good against the Giants in a way that maybe they haven't gotten credit for. There is now some film, I think, circulating on Twitter that I'm sure a lot of our social media-oriented listeners have seen, where those guys were getting doubled and chipped a whole lot, obviously. I don't think that is because the Giants were scared of them as much as it is because that's what happens now with your best pass rushers. Mm-hmm. It so happens in this organization that those guys are on the inside and not the outside. But also, teams don't want the interior pass rushers generally to be the difference maker on a play because they'll kill a play because the quarterback sees him coming and is forced off his mark and moves him around in the pocket. So I just think it's what you see all over the league generally is we're doubling, we're chipping these interior rushers, and we're making the guys off the edge, who theoretically it takes longer to get home, beat us, right? So I actually thought the Giants game was okay. If you look at the numbers so far this season, as a total pressures count, Daron Payne through two games has 7. John Allen has 5, which is not terrible. Now, here's the issue. They've combined to hit the quarterback 2 times. John Allen has both of those hits on the QB. Payne does not yet have one. All 7 of his pressures have just been hurries. But I actually think Payne has been more impactful, oddly. And the reason I say that is on both of Cleveland Farrell's sacks, he is the only guy on the team, by the way, with a sack at this point. On both of those plays, Daron Payne has made the play. And Farrell has just kind of broken out his mop and done some sweeping up at the end of the snap. And he gets the sack on the stat sheet. But I would essentially give Payne 2 plays on sacks that he won. Allen, I don't think, has any of those yet. But that all said, I'm not sure that they've been as invisible as people think, but they have not made the loud plays that are noticeable to people. So that's number one. On McLaurin, I'd say I'm a little bit more concerned. And when I use the word concerned, Danny, what I reference is not just Terry, but it is usage, and it is the style of this offense. It's a little too early to make big conclusions, but I think generally the wide receiver will be less significant in this offense than the tight ends and the running backs in a way that's even a bigger discrepancy than I anticipated. Because you and I both suggested this is what was going to happen, and that was why they were comfortable trading Jahan Dotson. But if you just look at the numbers on, target share and percentages and how they involve the receivers, they are throwing the ball to receivers behind the line of scrimmage at a rate that is massive compared to the rest of the league. That's not Terry's game, really. I mean, he's not going to turn those plays into big gains. 38% of their wide receiver targets have come behind the line of scrimmage. The highest rate in the NFL, the league average is 11%. That's the offense right now. It'll change some, but I don't feel as good about McLaurin having a big year as I do those other guys. So I'm going to say Payne will be my answer based on the fact that I think he could easily have one and a half, two sacks as it is that Farrell has got.
The McLaurin case is interesting. So we talked about this yesterday, why offense and really passing totals are dramatically down here over the last couple of seasons and the start of this year, really especially. And there are a bunch of answers for McLaurin as well. One of them, and this is not my favorite part about this because I love the guy, all he's ever been is awesome, but there are a handful of receivers who, if you were the only good option on your receiving core, will still put up numbers. Guys like Cooper Kupp, we saw Malik Nabers, Devontae Adams, go up and down the list of some of the best players. Justin Jefferson, without a great number two receiver opposite him. The million guys that are excellent. Then there's kind of another tier where if it's not 72 and sunny, don't expect that CeeDee Lamb 1,700-yard season, even if he's the only good receiving option week to week. So McLaurin's kind of below that tier. Then you add in the offense, the design, as you said, how easy it is for defenses to go, all right, that's where 17's probably going to be, or even if he lines up and goes in motion one time, we can still key on him. It's pretty easy. There's not much else there. I just don't see that breakout happening. Now, I don't think he ends up on the pace that he's on, which is 340 yards or something paltry and ridiculous, but I don't think that 1,100-yard, 7-touchdown season is coming either.
You know how old McLaurin is?
28?
29.
29.
He is, and he just turned 29. It's not like he's about to be 30, but I mean, he's not a kid, you know? And, yep. And even for his experience in the league, he was kind of an older rookie. He's always a couple years older than I think of him as, if that makes sense. I don't plan on disrespecting Terry McLaurin, who I think is one of the great ambassadors of sport in this town and has been one of the true professionals and awesome players in this city for a long, long time. But I do think it is okay to, you know, if you can't handle this, I'm just going to ask you to put your big boy pants on and grow up a little bit to ask a question, which is, like, where is he right now among the best receivers in the league? Where would you rank him? When they paid him, we talked about him being a fringe top 15 wide receiver. I would not say that right now. Is that because of how they use him? Maybe. Is that because of, like, opportunity? Possibly. But it's multiple offenses, multiple schemes, last year and just the 2 weeks now. But you have seen a decline in some of the explosive metrics. Now, I also think the conversation could be different, if I could say this, if when he was running wide open on the first play of the second half in Tampa, if Daniels doesn't overthrow him, then he's got a 70-yard touchdown on his resume,
yep,
and his numbers stack up pretty favorably with a lot of other guys. There was another play in that Tampa game where he ran like a deep post in the middle of the field, and he was behind everybody wide open, and Daniels either didn't see him or didn't want to push it, you know, and ended up scrambling on the play, pulled the ball down and ran. If you hit on that, maybe he had 170 yards or something against the Bucs.
Right, we're talking about, has Terry ascended to top five?
I mean, so
I get it.
I'm not saying the plays won't be there occasionally, but I don't know that I've ever seen, like, I don't think you could throw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase four times and he could have 8 yards. I don't think you could have a four-catch Justin Jefferson game where he has 8 yards. And through four catches this past week with a -2 and a -3 in there, McLaurin was at 8 yards. So if it sounds negative, that's not my goal, but I think it's just a fair thing to ask. Like, I'll go through it with you.
Yeah.
You're not putting him up there with Lamb and Hill,
nope,
and Chase and Jefferson and Brown, right? Those are the top guys. I would say that the next tier of like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Devontae Adams, those guys are above him too.
Yes.
Yeah? What about the next group down, like a Puka Nacua, Michael Pittman, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Mike Evans, like, I would say they're all better than him.
Yeah, then you start going, you know, Nico Collins and
I'll take Collins. Drake, yeah. London, DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, Devontae Smith is maybe in that conversation, but I haven't mentioned Cooper Kupp yet. I always struggle with Cooper Kupp's name.
Kupel.
For some reason, I say Kupel a lot if I'm doing it quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Kupel Kupp.
Kupel.
Jalen Waddle. I would take Terry over Stephon Diggs right now, probably. I think they're similar. Diggs is a little bit older as well. DJ Moore, I would take over him. What about Brandon Ayuk or Terry?
Ayuk.
I agree. I mentioned Nabers. What about Zay Flowers or Terry?
Terry.
I think I would go Flowers, probably. Ridley or Terry?
That's close.
Similar. T. Higgins or Terry?
Higgins.
Rashee Rice or Terry?
Rice.
George Pickens or Terry?
Terry.
I think I would go Pickens, but it's
close. It's a nice debate there.
Godwin
yeah.
or Terry?
Terry.
Amari Cooper. I mean, so basically we're saying
that's the tier.
That's now top 30.
That's upper 20s.
So that's different than a couple years ago when we're going, this is a top 15 receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is there's some really good young guys that have joined the league. Part of it is just the way we view him is different because it hasn't been as explosive or productive. But we're now at top 30-ish, top 25-ish maybe. That's a different thing.
It's a different conversation. And also, and again, I want to reiterate, it sounds like this is a negative Terry thing. This is the same conversation we used to have about Ryan Kerrigan, where Terry McLaurin's not the problem. Ryan Kerrigan is not the problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry he's not Von Miller in his prime. I'm sorry this guy that's going to set the franchise record for sacks is not Aaron Donald, the defensive player of the year. I'd like to have a couple more players as good as Terry McLaurin, and I'll figure it out, right? Like, he's better at his position than 97, top of my head, percent of the roster is at theirs. Maybe it's Cosme, Allen, Payne. Everybody else, he's competing where he should be.
He could also, by the way, if they wanted to, get 7 or 8 grabs and go for 100 to 125 yards every single week. Because, I mean, he is the epitome of consistent, and he's not going to – the plays that are there to be made, he's going to make. He will catch the football. He's not going to drop it. He's not – you know, he's going to do the thing that he's supposed to do. I don't think he's going to create a whole lot off script, so to speak. He's not going to separate a ton, but he'll make the contested catch. He'll get you what's there generally. That's up to them now to get him to 6 for 80, 7 for 100 instead of 5 for 26 or whatever this last couple weeks has been on average.